long intro. All right, that's our night show. Hold on. I screwed up. Did you send her the link?
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you. It was my bad. I did that. It was my bad. It's the time that we're going to come to healing. Positive thinking.
Okay, why?
Yes.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to the Hammer Radio Network, Hammer 92.7 BT Radio in Los Angeles, and I am executive producer Alan Johnson coming to you live from Metairie, Louisiana, and this is the first of our Hammer Doubleheader on Friday, March 20th, 2020, and today we have Melissa Turner-Riddell, The Descendant is the name of her project, science fiction romance. After an alien invasion disables Earth's electronics with an electromagnetic pulse, they unleash a virus that kills most of the planet's population. So come into the studio and talk to Ms. Riddell, and the number is 319-527-6099. Come on in for this great interview and let us know how you're doing during this stressful time. Again, 319-527-6099 is the number. And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Thank you, Ellen. Do I sound choppy? Because you sound hell of a choppy.
Mm-hmm.
How do I sound?
Yeah.
Do I sound choppy? All right, well, what's happening here, everybody, is that Blog Talk is probably experiencing a lot of,
People trying to get in on the show.
We're going to power through this. It will subside during the show, I promise you. Welcome to the show, everybody. If you've been listening to, our guest will be here, Melissa Turner. Ellen will keep me updated because I screwed up. I was supposed to send her the link to the show, and I forgot. Usually Ellen does that. So Ellen just sent her the link to the show so she can come on. And Ellen will keep me updated on if she received it, if she's on her way into the studio. We're going to get right to it. Charisse is here right now. Chef Charisse Kateri Cox is here right now. I want to say good morning to her. I don't want to keep her waiting. And we're going to answer some personal mail and get to the show. Good morning, Chef. How are you? Chef Charisse Cox, everyone.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. I'm a little under the weather right now, as you can probably hear from my voice. So I'm struggling through this. I'm going to make through this. We just got a notice around 9 p.m. that California basically is shut down, but California is very polite. We say, what did they say? Stay home. They gave us a stay home order, which is a nice way of saying, get your ass in the house and we don't want to see you. So that's basically where he is. And
y'all are quarantined. Y'all are grounded. Y'all must have done something really bad to piss the governor off because he punished everybody.
our governor is a bitch, a pussy. And I have never been so embarrassed. You know, like I said before, when I see how people really react when there's some kind of adversity or some kind of, let's say, pandemic, if they're calling it. I realize we don't pick leaders. We don't vote for leaders. We vote for personalities. And this is what I realized during all this. Because if you listen to Blasio this morning, he was short of crying and running out of the studio. This guy has no spine. He has no balls. He's like a whimpering little child in a playground. I have never seen something so silly and so embarrassing in all my life. I wish I could play what he said, but basically in a nutshell, he was on TV going, President Trump won't answer my calls. He's not doing this. Our hair is on fire. I don't know what we're going to do. We're all going to die. And he just running around going, ah! I go, you little bitch. How did he get elected mayor? I have no idea. Because I'm realizing that we don't have any leaders. Trump is not a leader. Trump is saying, hey, y'all do it yourself. Let me know if you need any help, and I'll delegate. Because he's not a leader. He's not a leader. He has no idea what to do. And the San Francisco mayor is scared to death. These people are pissing on themselves. These are the people you elected. Watch them on TV. They're pissing themselves. And again, I'm going to stall a little bit of time because, believe it or not, I like irony. Our next guest, who's supposed to be coming in the room, wrote a book about some alien viruses that are, destroying the world. So this is kind of interesting. But we're going to answer a couple of messages, which is my favorite, and usually these are people who are angry at me, and they hate me, and I look forward to this every day. We don't do it every day, but we got about four or five of them, and a couple of them I'm going to read for you, and I want to say good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We're heard around the world. I know you're listening to me now. What else are you going to do? What are you going to do? Really? You're going to watch The View? Right. Here are some of the messages.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Ding.
Oh boy, am I sick. What kind of ding do I have?
Ding.
We usually keep messages.
My ding. Ding.
You did your ding was good. We usually keep the people who write us messages, because a lot of them are friends of mine on Facebook and everything, and they know to go to Hammer 96, my fan page. They send me a message, and I'll read a lot of them. But we got a couple who are worried about the pandemic, and here's one. And we keep them anonymous because we don't want you guys to yell at them when you see them post something on Facebook, so we kind of keep it anonymous. And here's the first one. Hello, Brian. This is Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Anonymous.
We got to keep them anonymous. This is how it is.
Oh, my God.
I am scared to death of this virus. We are not locked down, but I heard California was locked down. How are you handling this? Anthony. I mean, Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous.
Oh.
Anthony Anonymous.
Real Anonymous.
Anonymous. So if you see anonymous posts, don't get mad at Anthony. Here's how we handle this. Let me tell you something. We are a bunch. Our governor is a bitch. A scared little trifling little bitch. The CDC lied to everybody here. They lied. That's the truth. If you listen to the show about a week ago or earlier this week, when we actually did talk to them, they lied to us. You cannot trust the CDC. They lied. How I'm handling it? Let me tell you something. This virus has been here for a long time. It's like you guys are shutting the door and the virus already is living in your guest room. It's too... And I hate to tell you guys, but here it is. Here's the truth. This virus is going to be here for a long time, even after this pandemonial thing that you guys are doing. It's here. It's not going like the cold, like the flu, like anything else. It's not going away. It's not. We have to live with it. And the word is live. We're going to live with this forever until we die. If you don't have it now, we will catch it. We are going to catch it. Yes, you. You're going to catch it. Whether this year, next year, the year after, you will catch it. That vaccine is not going to save your stupid ass. Even a flu vaccine is not meant to be 100% and protect you from the flu. It just makes your comfort level a little better when you do catch it. This is reality. And we have a 325 in here, and Ellen will check it if that's our guess. So it's here to live. We got to live with it. Options here. What do you do? You know, we faced this before. We faced it before. We have faced all kinds of viruses.
That is our guess.
Okay, I'll be right there. We faced all kind of stuff before, all kinds of viruses before. This is nothing new. It's nothing new. Now, you have your options. Either one, you live or you die. Living is going with your everyday life. Your immune system, the good Lord has blessed you with an immune system. And you live. You cannot run away from life. Because life will catch you. It's impossible to run away from life. You've got to live the life. Everything we do, we fight for. If somebody's going to break in your home, you fight. If somebody's going to hurt your kids, you fight. If somebody's going to do anything that you care about, you fight. Why are we running? Government is not going to save your ass. The cavalry is not coming for 2 years from now. You're on your own, and right now, you are fighting for your life. What do? you have two options. You lay down and let life take you away, and maybe the good Lord says, okay, well, you're in heaven. Why am I in heaven, Jesus? Because you're a bitch. Brian's still down there fighting. Because everything we do, we got to fight. Stop buying the surgical mask. You look like an idiot. I just heard on the TV right now that the nurses and our front people on our front line, the CDC is telling them, hey, you know what you can do? Make your own mask and put a kerchief over your mouth or whatever. It's like, how is that being sterilized? It's not. Because let me tell you something. The person who, if you call a police or a fire department, or you go to a hospital, chances are you go to a hospital, you're going to get sicker. If you call the police department, you call this, chances are somebody who's going to respond to you, I guarantee you, especially a first responder, has had contact with this virus. And they had contact with this virus years ago, months ago. There's an 80% recovery. I'll take those odds, and I would bet on them. But there's zero recovery if you shut down your business. You can't afford diapers. You can't afford to live. Because guess what? The millionaires are telling you, don't worry. We're giving you a little bit of money so you can survive. Really? And when this virus does, when it's free to come out or when you're free to come out and you want to do your business, you will have no business. The unemployment rate is going to be so high. And guess what? More homeless on the street. Because the government is telling you to shut down your business. You cannot make a living. And when it's time for you to reopen up your business, you have lost so much money, and a lot of you guys are going to lose your business. This is worse than a virus. The fear is a lot worse than what's really happening. It's been here. This is no different than any other viruses or bacteria. We went through this. We went through this with HIV. Remember? We went through this with AIDS. Remember? We went through this with Ebola. We went through this. The only difference is that we got little pussies. Oh, we got our guests here. Don't worry. But I have to talk straight. The only difference is if you look at our leaders, we did not elect leaders. We elected personalities who can't lead, who are panicking, who are scared. And if you want to know one last thing, where did we go wrong? And I'm mad at the CDC. Where we went wrong is that we knew 3 or 4 months ago that there's going to be a run on surgical masks. What did the CDC do? They put on their website, people stop buying masks. The hospitals need them. Instead of you doing that, you should have put a little thing on a supplier and say you do not put this in retail so the public can purchase the mask. This is only for hospital use only. And you do not sell it. That's the first step to protect our nurses and our doctors. And guess what? They're human beings too. So chances are, if you go to a hospital, you go to the dentist, chances are that person has been in contact with this virus because it's here. And we got to live with it. And I do mean live with it. You cannot run away from life because life will catch you and kick you in the ass. Knowing that we got to live with it, we protect ourselves. We eat better. We build our immune system. We go through life. And we will. That's the only way we're going to survive this. You don't isolate people. You don't put them away. And you don't hide them. You don't do it because they will not survive. Human beings are not meant to survive in caves. Look at the caveman. When was the last time you had a caveman on a show? No, he's not here anymore because he hid in the cave. You have a choice, either live or die. Living is living. It's here. It's part of our world. It's not going away. And you can't hide from it. And chances are, if you 1 out of 5 people you get in contact today has been exposed to it. And the only way to fight it is get your immune system built up. And don't be a bitch. Start being a fighter. Build your immune system. Do the basic thing. But live your damn life and don't hide. Thank you, Anonymous, for the message. We have 3 more, but our guest is here. So I'm going to say goodbye to you.
Thank you so much for dropping me a line. I must not have gotten to my phone on time. It's either that or I didn't hear it ring. So please leave me a message when you hear the ding.
Melissa Turner's here. Melissa. Ding. Oh, my dinghy is not good today. Melissa Turner. Oh, Ellen Grove. Oh, come on. You're not five. Oh, stop it. Melissa Turner.
Yes, I am five. Huh, Cherie? My dinghy is not good today.
It's not working today. Melissa Turner Riddell, or Rydell, is here. The book that we're going to talk about is called The Descendant. And like I said, I love irony. I didn't know when she was coming on. She came, she filled out the form weeks ago. And it's really funny that today, of all days, that California just got onto a lockdown. And I'm not feeling well at all. Wouldn't it be great radio if I died? This would be perfect radio.
No,
wouldn't
it
be
great
radio?
It
would be great. This
would
go viral.
Well,
she's coming on, and after an alien invasion, it disables Earth electronics with an electromagnetic pulse. They unleash a virus that kills most of the planet's population. Yeah, and if you want to talk about, we're going to have a great interview, and if you want to talk about what's going on with you and you're afraid of the lockdown or you don't know what to do, after the interview, come on in the studio. Let's talk about your fears. We're on lockdown. If you've been on lockdown, how's it feel to be on lockdown? If you're a musician or entertainer, what are you doing? All right, but first, live from, where's Melissa from? Oh, I think, is it Connecticut?
You know what? I know she's from the United States, but I have no idea. I don't know what state.
What's the error code? 325?
325.
Okay. Live from Texas. See, people in Texas,
okay.
People in Texas are no bitches. Man, they kick ass. You know, their cattle and everything, even the cows are up there saying, hey, virus, moo out of the way. I got things to do. They're tough people. That's right. Ladies and gentlemen, Melissa Rydell or Riddle. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning. How are y'all?
We are good. Melissa, before we get into your book, what an interesting book at this particular time. But you sound healthy, Melissa. What's going on in Texas?
Well, pretty much the same across the nation, except we will probably shoot someone if they steal our toilet paper.
That's it.
Oh, God.
That's what I love about Texas. That's what I love about Texas.
Yeah,
wow.
This is going to go down as the great toilet paper war of 2020.
So embarrassing. What kind of legacy we're leaving our children? This is so embarrassing. Are you... I don't hear much about Texas about quarantine. I don't hear much about Texas about shelter in place. Do you have anything going on in Texas that you guys are panicking?
There are some that panic, but they did today, starting today, they have shut down the bars and the restaurants.
Mm.
And, of course, you know, public gatherings of more than 10. So, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
Right. You shut the bars down in Texas, somebody's going to go, get the rope. Get the rope.
Yeah,
no,
you shut the bars down in New Orleans, somebody's going to say, uh-oh.
Yeah. They don't mess in Texas. You ain't messing with my beer. Really, Texas? You're gonna shut. I like to see the brave guy who's trying to shut down their beer and their bar. Well, I'm glad you're here, Melissa. Let me give
you
a welcome in. Let me give you an official welcome. Melissa is in the studio. Those are Texas people. Look at them. They're cheering, their hats are off, ready to shoot. We're going to talk about The Descendant, Melissa. And like I said, I love irony. This is a perfect story for a perfect time right now. Tell me about your book. It's a science fiction romance. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it starts out, of course, the EMP is released, so it disables all of Earth's technology. And then about a year after that, they actually release a virus that kills off the remaining most of the population. It's a GI virus instead of a respiratory, but it's kind of got some parallels. And I wrote it last year. But the main character is Tilly Morgan, and she's survived. And so she's tracking on foot to try to find her sister in Florida, hoping that her sister's DNA also allowed her to survive the virus. And on the way, she befriends Kodiak, who's a half-Siberian husky and German shepherd. And then she meets a guy named Jareth, another survivor. And so it kind of deals with the relationship. You know, she's been lonely. She's been without companionship for months besides the dog. So.
I love Texas. You got to have the dog in there. Where's the dog? You got to have the story about the dog. Okay. That's Texas. Well, why did you write a book about, you sound very educated. You know, I'm getting this vibe that you're a professional. Are you in healthcare services? Are you a nurse or anything like that?
Yes, I actually am in healthcare. I am a coder. I'm a certified coder and a certified auditor. So I've been in the medical field for about a long time, around almost 20 years. So,
wow.
And the idea came because I actually worked on site at an Air Force base at the time. And the idea came from just my mind spinning, you know, thinking about aliens and, you know, one thing led to another. And the story came out and wrote it last year and decided to put it up for just to see if anybody was interested and ended up getting published by DLG Publishing Partners.
Right. I'm trying to look for your book on Amazon. I don't see it. Is your book on Amazon?
It is on Amazon. You may have to type in The Descendants and then put in like Riddell, R-I-D-D-E-L-L.
Okay.
Because I think there's a few other books.
Okay. R-I-D-D-E-L-L. E-L-L. All right. Let's take a look at that and let's see what you got cooking here, kiddo. Oh, look at you. You can Google. You can Google The Descendant. You have to excuse my... The Descendants. Rydell, you can Google it, and her book will come up. So, there
yeah.
you go. You made the big time, kid.
Big
Ooh, time.
Yeah,
you're on
big
Google.
Time.
Look at you. Here we go. I just want to read a little bit more of it. Oh, here it is. Look at you. I love your cover, by the way. Your cover is excellent. You can go to Amazon right now and put in The Descendant, D-E-S-C-E-N-D-A-N-T, and put in Rydell, R-I-D-D-E-L-L, and you can see it. And here it is. Wow. Is this your first book?
Yes, sir.
How does it feel to write your first book? I mean, you got your book published. It's your story. I want to feel what you feel. How did you feel about it?
So when I first submitted it, you know, I didn't expect to get published at all. I just was hoping for some editorial feedback, you know, on how to make my story stronger. And lo and behold, about 2 or 3 months after, I got the offer. It's actually the first book of a trilogy, so I've already written the second book, and it's going to be published hopefully within the next couple of months. But I was just ecstatic. I mean, at first I felt like I was living in a dream world. I was like, this can't be right. Someone's pranking me. Like, you know, this is not real. But it ended up being real, and it was such a roller coaster. The editing process was such a learning experience because that was my first book. The company, though, DLG Publishing Partners, has just been great. Like, they really guided my hand the whole way. And the feeling, though, to be published by a traditional publisher, it's hard to explain. It was just, I was ecstatic.
Well, I'm going to extend your time because I'm looking at the time. I want to find out more about it. Hold on.
Okay.
Because we're going to get to the meat of this. We're going to talk really fast. The book is a science fiction romance. Your first book.
Yes,
are you with a publishing company? Are you with a publishing company?
It is with a publishing company, with DLG Publishing Partners.
There you go. Wow. You must have the hookup. Not many independent, you know, really, your first book, you're already with a publishing company. You must be good.
Yeah.
All right. Why aliens? Why can't we just deal with, Isn't it enough that we have a virus that's killing people when you want to put the aliens in there? Why them?
I love science fiction. I love fiction, and I wrote a book that I wanted to read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's why. I love dealing with the sci-fi aspect of aliens.
Okay. Oh, they have enough problems. All right. Tell me about your lead character. Why am I going to root for this character in your book?
Well, because first off, Tilly is a strong survivor. She's Texan,
mm-hmm.
of course, so she doesn't
mm-hmm.
put up with any crap.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a dirty mouth.
Oh, yeah.
Just warning everybody. But she's very driven, and even though she's young, she's really older, you know, in her years because of survival and having what she's seen and lived through.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I think people will root for her to make it to her sister.
Well, I'm already rooting for her. She has a potty mouth. She's a Texan. Does she have a dog?
Well, heck yeah.
Okay. I'm in.
His name's Kodiak.
Okay. Now, what kind of audience are you trying to reach with your book? What are the what kind of audience will love your book? Sci-fi audience, Comic-Con people, Marvel people? What kind of audience are you trying to reach?
Sci-fi, and then I've also had, you know, I originally thought it would be kind of a new adult, you know, like ages 18 and up, but I've
mm-hmm.
had more people in their 40s and 50s really enjoying it. So it's really
mm-hmm.
for everybody, but definitely sci-fi, apocalyptic audience.
Mm. Oh, we're limited, girly. We're limited.
Exactly.
This is a documentary, as far as I'm concerned. Here's some of your reviews. Listen to this. She wrote her first book, and she has a lot of great reviews. I mean, 4.7 out of 5. These are 5-star reviews. I'm just going to read the headline. This woman, her name is Carrie. She goes, hot guy and a dog. She's in. Best combo ever. Kate E. says, well-crafted. Tale worth reading. And another person, his name is Dimples. Okay, it's all right. In Texas, they would have killed him. It's okay. Excellent storytelling. You feel like you're right there with them when the Earth attacks. I'm sorry, when the aliens attack Earth with an EMP. Yeah, well, I'm sorry. No, I'm trying. When the aliens attack Earth with an EMP pulse taking out all technology, phones, televisions, any way to contact anyone else, they just don't discriminate. And, they decimate. I got this. I'm not reading today, but they decimate the Earth and our defenses. They insert a virus into everyone, causing billions of people to die. What could they possibly want with our Earth if they're totally destroying it? Okay, and here we go. We got Lori. She says, falling in love is easy. Trusting him isn't. Ooh, they're really getting into this story. Another person, Priscilla, a great read. Another person, a book lover. Excellent first book. Another person, Brandy Turner, looking forward to the next one. Here's one. It says here, Melissa's ex-boyfriend. Hate it. Hate her. Don't buy it. All right. You can't please everybody. You can't please everybody, Melissa. Can't please them.
I know.
So, your book, is it in
any
brick and mortar?
Melissa's ex-boyfriend hate it.
Yeah,
hate
really. I hate him.
All the reviews. Is your book in any brick and mortar stores that people can go to?
Not yet. My publisher's working on it. I do think it might be available to order through Barnes & Noble, but I'm not sure. I know they're working on all that.
Right. Well, I am interested in it. Do you think this book is going to really reach boys? Wait, let's go back. You said 18 and over. Why 18? It's because of the potty mouth?
The language. Yeah.
Is there any sex in your book at all? I mean, do the aliens get busy while they're here? Checking a hotel?
No, there are some sexual innuendos, but there's no blatant sex or anything in it.
Oh.
I guess, right? I guess, Melissa, do you have kids?
I have a grown child. Yes, I do.
Mm.
Okay. Well, then you should know that the teenagers nowadays, they have worse mouths than the adults.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You see the video games that your kids are playing or grown kids are playing? I mean, it's, oh my God, it's violent and woo. All right.
Yeah.
So tell me.
I really think that maybe a 16-year-old might enjoy your book, you know, because you're probably not saying anything that they haven't already heard or said themselves.
Yeah, they could probably teach me something.
Oh yeah. Have you been around young people? They use the F word as their first language. And I'm going, how old are you? You know?
Yep.
Wow. So, Melissa, are you think boys, teenage boys or teenage girls are going to be your audience? Or you think nowadays that more and more young ladies and women are getting into sci-fi? Because it used to be a guy thing. But I see more and more women, and they start putting women as heroes in these sci-fi movies like, you know, Wonder Woman. You think that helped that people can really – is your hero a woman or a guy? Because you said Tilly.
It's a woman.
Right.
It's a woman. It's a woman, yep.
I noticed it's a trend. I have interviewed a lot of people lately this year, and every hero is a woman. What's going on, Melissa? What's going on?
Well, I think, you know, we growing up, all the heroes were guys, you know, at least in my generation. So it's kind of nice to turn the tables. No offense to anyone. I mean, this is just, you know, it's just a switcheroo. And it's just kind of nice to see a woman who isn't expected to just sit in the kitchen and cook and have babies, you know.
Right.
It's nice to actually see a woman get out there, be strong. She can make her own decisions. She doesn't need a man to protect her, you know.
Right. Wow. I have nothing to say. Wow.
I'm from Texas, you know.
I understand. So she goes through this. The aliens come in. Exactly. Exactly. So the alien invasion, do we find out why the aliens are invading Earth, or is it just that they're here now? She finds out that they're trying to unleash a virus, and how do we, without giving away the plot or anything, how does it evolve here?
So closer to the end, several other questions are answered. Of course, like I said, it's a trilogy, so the reader's going to find more in the second and third book. But towards the end, there are some plot twists. I've had a lot of people say they were floored. They weren't expecting several of the twists, which is what I was hoping. But you do kind of figure out what the aliens are thinking, kind of what their purpose was for you know, destroying everything and then killing most of humanity.
Right. We usually call them Trumpers. Little joke in Texas. Little joke there, Melissa. Don't get your gun. Get the rope.
I don't say anything about politics. I know
you don't. I know you don't. Oh, that Mitch. He's at it again. But it is interesting that we're starting putting the year of the woman, and the woman's the one that saves us. So, again, I haven't read the book, but I'm reading, ladies, there has to be a good-looking guy, a love interest going on here, and describe that character and who this person is. I'm assuming it is.
So, Jarrus is the love interest.
There you go.
He's kind of a combination of Sawyer from Lost and Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow. So if they're kind of wondering, like, you know, what he looks like and kind of how he acts, he's very smart, very intelligent. He loves to tease, but he's also serious, too. So he's an interesting character. I really enjoyed writing him.
And when you did write your character, because you are, and I'm not being sexist, maybe I am. I'm not going to be careful. I am sexist, and I'm a little misogyny. Did I say it right? Because the other one I can go to hell for. Okay, put it in a minute. But what does he look like? The visual of this character, and I guarantee you he's good looking, but give me a visual of this character as you describe him in the book.
Okay, so he's handsome. I mean, in a kind of a traditional sense. I mean, he's got longish curly black hair. He's tall. He's not real bulky, like, you know, a lot of women like their men really bulky and muscled.
Right.
He's not really, he's more of a lanky, almost kind of a wiry build. He's got a little bit of an accent. It's kind of a European accent. So.
Do you dream about this guy quite a bit, Melissa?
Well, you know, he is in my head, so.
He is. You know, a lot of these women and a lot of people, I want to have somebody come in the studio and says she falls in love with this fat pig. You know what I mean? He's overweight. He has diabetes, beard. He doesn't bathe. Why can't this guy be a love interest?
Well, let me turn that around on you. Why is it that men always think that women should have hourglass figures, busty, puffy lips, you know, beautiful skin, long hair?
Don't they all? I think so. You're right. You got me. You got me there. That's true. So, you know, you sound very young. I would say you probably wrote this book when you were 10. So let me, you know, the Fabio series, you know, the old traditional romance.
Yes.
Are we getting away from that kind of man and that kind of, don't we want our guys a little rougher, a little dirtier, a little edgy? You think we got away from that Fabio look?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, definitely I think the trend in romance is the scruffier, rougher men. Yeah, I mean, because Fabio, I remember him, like, even in the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter commercials, you know, he was all smooth and long blonde hair.
Right.
But now they're scruffy beard, you know, and just, no, you're right. You're definitely right. We're kind of trending away.
And going back to that era, has romance changed? Has romance got more real? Because, like, again, those books, whether they're Harlequin books or whatever, have women changed what romance is now than it was back then? I hope you're getting me because I can't say it anymore. I mean, we're waiting for the guy, the white knight on the horse, coming to sweep you up.
You're talking about traditional romance.
Right.
The woman around waiting for the white knight to come and sweep her away.
Right. Are we looking towards now that the guy has flaws? He has a little bit of demons, but we still like them. Have we changed how we look at romance heroes, men, as far as, or are they more sensitive now? Are men more sensitive in romance novels?
The ones I've read, no. I mean, they really have changed. The contemporary romances, the women are stronger, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't just sit around and wait for the guy to save them. I mean, they're going to save themselves, and they may end up saving the guy, you know.
Right.
Yeah, gas and take names later.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you the difference, because the old romance novel, the worst word we ever heard was "darn it." Let me ask you, what is the worst word we're going to hear in your book with the potty mouth?
It would be the MF word.
You had to clear your throat too. I am a lady. I'm a lady.
Yes,
I'm a Texas lady.
I can top it. But I don't
want to
say it over the air.
Wow,
this is blog talk, Melissa. We're not regulated by the FCC.
But she's still a lady. She's a Texas lady, and she's not going to say motherfucker. See, she giggles. Can you imagine her writing, and motherfucker did this? Okay.
I probably did. Yeah, that's probably exactly right.
Well, tell me, we went over your characters. You told me a little about your book. And how long did it take you to write this book? It's called, by the way, we're talking with Melissa Turner Rydell. Why the middle name, Melissa? Do you like your ex-husband and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to?
No. My pen name is Melissa Rydell. And then my real name is Melissa Rydell Turner. So, yes, I keep my maiden name in there because, you know, I'm my own person. I don't want to just be under his name, you know. I want my maiden name in there, so that's why I hyphenated it.
Just in case, right?
You know, it's a lot of work to change those papers.
Yeah, really. How long have you been married, Melissa?
since 94.
Wow.
I got married really young, so, yeah.
What? Really? I would say you're a lady, and you're, are you in the ladies in the 30s? Or you don't have to say the exact name. Your voice
now, you're
like
really
that.
Trying to put me on the spot, aren't you?
Well, yeah, you wrote a book. I'm going to read it. I'm going to know about the author. No,
that's Brian's specialty, putting people on the spot.
Right.
You're not supposed to ask a lady her age. That's the rule here in Texas.
I'll get the rope. I love it. Get the book, everybody. It's on sale now on Amazon. And or better yet, let Melissa tell you where you can get her book. Melissa, tell everybody how they get the book. And if we didn't talk about some of the topics you want to talk about, this is the time to just say anything you want to say and sell and sell and sell. It's all yours, Melissa.
All right. Well, the book is available on Amazon.com. It's The Descendants by Melissa Riddell, R-I-D-D-E-L-L. It's also available on Kindle Unlimited. So if you pay that subscription fee every month, you can read it for free. You can also follow me on Facebook. My handle on Facebook and Twitter is Mel C. Riddell. And then we're hoping to have it available in stores hopefully sometime in the future. My publisher is working on that.
And how do they reach you, Melissa?
They can contact me through Facebook, Mel C. Riddell, Twitter. I do have a website. I don't have that up in front of me, but you can look up Melissa Riddell. You should be able to pull up some information. If you type in author Melissa Riddell, trying to think. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but I should have wrote it down.
Well, I'll tell you what, I did it. Melissa, do you have your book with you? Could you read a little passage of your book?
Sure. Let me just.
Sure, I'll give you some time. Because, right, this is how her book would sound if it was an audio by the author herself. I like this. First time it ever happened. Let me know when you're ready, Melissa.
Okay, I'm pulling up something right now.
Sure.
I wasn't expecting to have to read.
I know.
Okay.
It's like school, right? In class? Melissa, your hand is up. I'm not reading. I'm not reading at all. Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay. So this is a part kind of towards closer to the end of the book, and Tilly and Jareth are having to hide from an alien sphere, several spheres that are looking for him. So, all right, here we go. Jareth, what is it? You said it wouldn't come back. I'm trying to keep it together, not let the fear control me, but it feels like a rattlesnake waiting for a chance to strike. My scalp prickles and my bladder tightens. Instead of saying anything, he grunts and pulls me into the barn, where Sparky's already swung the heavy doors open. Kodiak bounds inside after me, neck first, stiff with agitation. Jareth stands inside the entrance and begins pushing an edge of the doors. Sparky and I help heave the massive wooden doors closed. He and the robot settle a long bar of wood into built-in brackets. Small windows open in the walls above, near the hayloft, letting in daylight and fresh air. Unable to help myself, I scoot so close to Jareth I'm inches from his lap, and his scent floats around my body. Is it back? I pull the shotgun from my back, needing it for reassurance, and aim it toward the double doors. My voice sounds weak and scared. So that's just a little excerpt.
Wow. Wow, look at this. Look at that. I would not trust that Sparky guy. That Sparky's a little shady.
Now, I did forget to mention, Sparky is an alien that Jareth talks her into keeping with them. He ends up getting damaged. So I did forget to put that in there.
That's a great love story. Sparky.
Oh,
I love it.
Crying.
It is. I like it.
No.
Oh, it's not? No, it's a sci-fi. Stop it, you guys. Stop it. It's so beautiful. So cute. No, they deserve me. Well, anybody that has Sparky in there, I'm there. Thank you so much, Melissa. And get her book. It's on Amazon now. It's called The Descendant. And I hope I'm pronouncing it right. D-E-S-C-E-N-D-A-N-T. By Melissa Turner Riddell or Riddell, depending on where you're from.
Riddell.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming in. I enjoyed it. Did we cover everything, Melissa?
Yes, thank you so much. Letting everybody know, the second book will be coming out soon called The Betrayer.
Another romance story. You just have a way with romance. The Betrayer.
It's the follow-up.
Oh, okay. Melissa Riddell, everybody. The Descendant, now on Amazon. Thank you, Melissa. And when we come back, we will talk more about life and the other virus that's real, that's destroying our Earth. Thank you for bringing sunshine and happiness, Melissa.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It was a great break to hear your voice, and it's a great break to hear this beautiful book. Safe journey, and I wish you much success.
Thank you, and y'all take care.
Thank you, and we'll be right back with more show. Get the book; it's on sale now. Really, go to Amazon. It's great, and the reviews are wonderful. And I think this is the kind of book we need right now. To break up what's happening. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. We got 8 minutes left, and we have a double hitter today. So stay with us. And we're going to open up our indie band show. We were going to do a relationship show. We scrapped that, and we're going to start doing our indie band show, Bring Back the Music. People are looking for the music. This is a band we met. His name is Gmo. You might know Gmo from Earth, Wind, and Fire. He became a friend of the show. We have done interviews with him. He went solo, and now he's producing other records. This is his song called Come On Home by Gmo. Now, he did this song for Marvin Gaye when Marvin Gaye died, so this is his tribute to Marvin Gaye. Gmo, formerly from Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we'll be right back.
In this day and time, so many women have given up on me. Saying a man don't know what to do for him. But I tell you, baby, come on over here. Come on over here and let me love you the way you need to be loved. Come on over here and bring it to daddy. And let me love you.
And we're back here listening to Hammer Radio Network, Hammer 96.7 BT Radio in Los Angeles, and I am executive producer Ellen Johnson coming to you live from Metairie, Louisiana. Take it away, Brian.
Thank you, Ellen. We are taking requests because we are going to launch our music show, and we do have a request, and I'm going to play it for our guest, Melissa, if you give me a minute so I can cue it up.
Oh,
and
really quick, Brian, somebody has a question for you. Somebody has a question for you. Hold
on. Sure.
Hold on. Paul, ask him.
Hey, where's my In-N-Out burger?
Is that Paul?
Yes, it is. You're on speaker.
Well, you know, in California, we call our In-N-Out burger our wives and our girlfriend.
Well, I'm not from California.
I know you're not. It's good to hear your voice, Paul. You know what? I am going to send you one. I promised to send you one last year.
That's what I keep hearing, but I'm still waiting.
You know, I'm going to do it right after the show. Now, we have the In-N-Out burger. See, off menu, Paul. See, the tourists will get the regular In-N-Out.
Well, I need the animal style.
You want the animal style? Okay, that's off menu. I'll get you animal style.
Yeah.
How many do you want?
I need two.
You need two?
Yeah.
Those are big ass. What about the fries? They got animal style fries. Do you want that?
Yeah, I'll do the fries.
Okay. Let me see. Let me add up. See, one In-N-Out burger. Send it to Louisiana.
I thought you were in quarantine. I thought y'all can't leave your home.
That's it. We are. But I'm going to make you my own In-N-Out burger. You'll love it.
No, I want one from In-N-Out.
Well, we could go out. We could do takeout. We could do takeout. So we're
cool
with that.
There you go. Do takeout. Just don't get shot.
All right. All right, now you're on the road. When am I going to send this to you? Because by the time I send it to you, you're on the road,
man. What are you talking about? I'm home for a 3-day weekend.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, so I need one by before Sunday.
You got it. It'll be from me. You got the. I'll get you two. One for you and your lovely wife. How's that?
You know this phone's dying, right?
Yeah, I know. We're about to do another show.
Okay, well, here's E.T.
All right, listen, I'm going to get one for you and your lovely wife. It's on its way, Paul.
With wife, I need one instead of the bun. I need one with lettuce as a bun.
With lettuce?
He needs a veggie burger instead of...
Okay. Not a veggie burger. Oh, wait, do they have turkey burgers?
No, they don't.
Oh,
go to the menu. Go to the menu. Go to In-N-Out Burger. It's a menu. And see what you want on that. You can pull up the menu.
Okie dokie. Yeah, he's in there with Aaron.
All right. Listen, we're going to go to another show. Listen, but Melissa has a request, and then we're going to go to the other show. And this is request. I got to get my voice on, my DJ Joyce. Yeah, hey, we got a request from Texas. Yeah, little Philly in Texas. She's a shooting, hooting, patooting, great girl in Texas. She's also an author. This is her... Her request is called Yellow by Coldplay. Yeah. Here you go, Melissa.
Thank you.
Is called The Descendants. There you go, Melissa. Was that good?
That was awesome. Thank you.
Well, you're awesome, too. You have a great day. We have another show coming up. The show is ending. We have another show coming up. The Great Chef is coming on in about 3 seconds. So we have to get out of this show and start the new show. And we hope you attend that show. She's cooking up a Jamaican burrito. Never heard it before. People in Texas are going to love it. Jamaican burrito, get the rope. Get it done. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, everybody.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you the next show. We'll be back in about 2 minutes. Have a nice day. Bye.
Bye.